needs. We have two residential units that are in full use at the moment, Pennycook and Gore Bridge, and Dalkeith is being used as an outreach service for people within the communities and also to support young residents, young people who are not fully engaged in school at the moment, and trying to get them back into education. So it's been used for numerous things at this moment in time. But the gradings, we were very happy in relation to the gradings that we achieved, because this was a very difficult year for everyone. The one in relation to the management is obviously something that we're striving to do better, and only 2 weeks ago we appointed a new manager for a two-year period for the residential services, as the previous manager has left Midlothian Council. So we're hoping that she will bring new structure and improvement to residential services at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's good to see that even in a period of change, that we're managing to maintain good standards and ensure better outcomes for our children. I hope the new manager settles in well and continues to make good progress. Thank you.
Thanks, Leader. I think this is a very encouraging report, and I think it does due credit to the efforts that Midlothian has made over a number of years to really improve this service. I took the opportunity last year to visit the new Dalkeith facility when it opened, as we were all invited to do, and it really is pretty impressive. I know it's been used slightly differently, but there have been massive changes here, having visited the old accommodation a few years ago with my colleagues here. What we're now doing is really excellent, and I think this reflects it, and long may it continue. And I think our young people and their supporters are very fortunate to have the kind of facilities that certainly I saw in Dalkeith, which I know are replicated in the other two centres. Thank you, Chairman.
It's certainly very encouraging, and the focus on the outcomes for the young people, I think really it's clearly shown through that that is the focus of the direction. By way of follow-up, have the inspectors given any indication of when they would seek to come back, or is it simply just into the routine now?
It'll be a year before there's a follow-up. Yep. Okay.
Are members happy to accept the recommendations in the report, to note the inspection, pass the report to performance review scrutiny, acknowledge the positive ongoing work by management staff, and to note the Council will continue to challenge, support, monitor service in relation to achieving excellence. Happy to agree? Thank you. Takes us then to item 6, the school session dates for the academic year 2015-16.
Okay, I think that's me again. Just for Council to note the school dates that have been obviously put forward, and to take any questions if there are any.
Thanks, Leader. I just wonder how well these harmonise with Edinburgh and East Lothian. I know this is a big challenge, but are there major differences? Because I know this does cause difficulties for parents in particular and people working. So I don't know if we're able to clarify how well they do harmonise with each other at this stage. Thank you.
Because it is noticeable that while the report says we've done as much as possible to synchronise with Edinburgh, we're silent on any overlap with East.
I'm afraid I can't clarify that at this moment in time, but I can go back to Peter McNaughton and clarify feedback. Okay.
Certainly, obviously, it is an issue that comes up annually as we do look at these dates, so I'm sure significant work has been done to try as much as possible to align dates, but as you say, it's not always possible, and it's certainly...
It's not always our fault, Leader, because sometimes we find it difficult to get the information. Thank you.
Okay. Members happy to accept that report. Thank you. Which takes us then to item 7, the Midlothian Draft Autism Strategy.
Thank you, Chair. This report describes the new Midlothian Autism Strategy, which outlines the needs and demands on the services and how they can be addressed in line with national policy. As indicated in Section 2, the National Strategy was launched in November 2011, and there was an allocation of a one-off payment of £35,000 to all local authorities, and in Midlothian we were making use of that to develop and publish a local autism strategy. As a consequence, we took part in the National Disorder Mapping Project, which was a fact-finding exercise and an analysis of that information. The strategy, which is a appended as Appendix 1 to this report has outlined the intention to use our allocation of £35,000 to recruit a post to refine and develop the attached draft strategy to identify the service gaps and solutions in developing a local action plan. The proposed post holder would also seek out funding to resource initiatives to respond to local needs in the partnership with third sector agencies and in developing local commissioning models for autism services. The failure to plan a multi-agency and multidisciplinary approach to the needs of people with autism could lead clearly to negative outcomes for those people. However, I would indicate that in terms of the attached strategy that we have been involving communities and stakeholders, and indeed the views of families and their carers are incorporated into the draft strategy that's attached. And to that extent, a local event was held in February, bringing together representatives from a range of interested stakeholders in social work, health, community planning, education and voluntary organisations to explore the current service provision and identify gaps in terms of the further work for the proposed role to address. The attached strategy takes on a GERFECT approach in terms of being person-centred and certainly goes through the life cycle of early stages, moving into school, services to adults, and as indicated, certainly incorporates each of those stages, the views currently of families and carers who are subject to the focus of the autism strategy, and it's recommended that Cabinet note and endorse this.
Thanks, Kevin. I've got personal experience of an autistic child, and when they're young, there's a lot of support needed for the family in a lot of cases. I'm particularly interested in the transition to adult services, and I know that on page 43 you've got several departments and things looking to place these children. I'd be interested to find out next year how that goes and how successful it's been. Thank you.
Thank you. I recommend that we do accept recommendations. I know it's a place where we've got to do a lot of work. Families and people who have this disorder do have a lot of issues to contend with, and unfortunately everyone is different, and what works for one family quite often doesn't work for another family, so it is very intense for everyone, professionals, families, helpers involved, so the sooner we get the ball rolling, the better. Thank you.
Yeah, I think obviously this, given it is the first time we'll have an autism strategy for the council, it would be useful, I think, to have a report either 6 months or a year's time to just see how this is having an impact, because certainly it is a positive step to move forward in this direction, to recognise the challenges that are there for families and to help and support and to make sure we do achieve the best outcome for each individual, given the very unique circumstances that each can find themselves in. Happy to accept the report. Thank you. That then takes us to item 8, environmental regeneration of McNeil Terrace, Loanhead.
Thank you, Chair. This report is to provide Cabinet with an overview of the proposed programme of environmental improvement and refurbishment works for McNeil Terrace. In May of last year, we brought a report to Cabinet detailing the range of issues which were affecting the quality of the environment in McNeil Terrace and indeed quality of life of the residents there in terms of dog fouling, fly tipping and vandalism and the negative impact on the residents there, as well as the long-term sustainability in terms of demand for properties that became vacant in the area. As is detailed in Section 2, in terms of the background, we undertook a range of engagement activities through a variety of methods during 2003 with a series of one-to-one exercises and drop-in events and doorstep interviews that were carried out. In terms of the proposed plan works, it's detailed at 2.3, which was to the common areas, including those within the buildings and the wider environmental environment in McNeil Terrace, around the built environment there. Consequently, we were looking at the areas detailed in 2.4 about the building works, the proposed remediation there, the decoration both to the common areas and external structure of the buildings, the landscaping in terms of garden areas and common areas. We would note that within the 36 properties in McNeill Terrace, three are privately owned and were purchased from the council. We would need to make variation to those titles with the proposed works that are depicted in the appendix, as has been indicated, that are on the wall within the chamber. The range of those works is what has actually been derived from the engagement sessions with residents in the area. So it's a compilation of the choices, both in terms of the landscaping, and there are also the sample boards to the left-hand side of the chamber in terms of the landscaping and the choices, again, that came from residents who were consulted on through the course of the approach. There are areas of works within 2.4 that are required in order that the properties meet the Scottish Housing Quality Standard. So the allocated funds, which are referenced of £417,000, certainly incorporate those elements which are not included within the Scottish Housing Quality Standards, so that we can best focus the available resource on those planned works to ensure that the funds are prioritised to address the local residents' concerns. And that has certainly benefited from the engagement of the tenants and the development of an estate action group, which intends to continue to operate on completion of the works so that we have a common interest with the residents in sustaining and maintaining their environment. It's recommended that Cabinet notes the report and agrees to the improvement works which have been detailed in order that we can now proceed to the to have those works carried out on site at McNeill Terrace.
That's another good news story, Chair. Good news for Midlothian and Loanhead, and also for the ward councillors, whoever they may be. Thank you.
No, as I think certainly what we see here is a culmination of a long time work. I mean, the funds for this project were allocated in the budget a number of years ago, but decision was always taken that we didn't want to just spend them for the sake of spending the money. It had to be the right project to achieve a better outcome for McNeill. And certainly the fact that it is currently sitting as a sort of low-demand area, we're very keen, certainly I know all the local members very keen to see that change. So I'm very positive about the project that's outlined here. I think the process that's been gone through and the engagement with the residents within McNeill Terrace has shown it's maybe an indication of a different way of working, because the consultation was essentially taken to the residents, and where there was an empty unit, that was used as the base for the consultation. So it certainly made it much easier for the residents to engage and to participate in it. And I think the outcome we've got is very much based around the hopes and aspirations of the residents, as well as the needs of the council. So from that point of view, delighted to see this project forward. It will be a significant investment and a massive boost to the nearby area. So very, very happy to move the recommendations in this report. Any other questions, comments? Thank you. Takes us then to item 9, purchasing new properties in Dalkeith for council housing. Kevin.
Thank you, Chair. This report is to seek members' agreement for the use of available resources from the housing revenue account to purchase additional properties for use as social rented housing by the council. As detailed in section 2.2, we've had allocation from Scottish Government in terms of funding to support available housing development in Midlothian. However, the additional funding which has been provided has to be provided to developments which will be completed or on site in construction by March of 2015. The Council is not in a position, as is detailed in 2.2, to make use of this additional funding in terms of how we've apportioned that for the Council's house building programme in Phase 2. Our development partners, such as Melville Housing Association and Dunedin Canmore, are not in a position to commence further development from their stated plans. And that, again, would then not allow this proposal to be used within the specified timescale. This leaves £400,000 unallocated, and if not used within Midlothian, this grant funding would be reallocated to another local authority area. The Scottish Government Housing Investment Division have accepted the use of affordable investment funding for purchasing units from the open market as a means of increasing the supply of affordable housing. And certainly the Council, Mid Lothian Council, has carried this out in the past through our Spend to Save approach in 2005. And this certainly also meets the Council's priorities in terms of avoiding the use of bed and breakfast accommodation for homeless households. It was used for that purpose in 2005. In 2012, the Council had agreed to act as a lender for Dunedin Canmore to take forward the provision of affordable housing without the reliance on grant funding, which had not been supplemented at that time. And the proposal was for a development of 20 flats to be developed by Dunedin Canmore in partnership with the National Housing Trust, proposed for a site at Wester Cowden in Dalkeith. Unfortunately, the development could not progress due to the Dunedin Canmore Group being unable to secure permission from their current lender to obtain this available loan funding from Midlothian Council. In order for the unit, whilst the units have planning permission, they will meet the Scottish Housing Quality Standard and will then consequently be suitable for use as council housing. It is intended that the site start of 2014 is possible for these units to allow completion by September 2015, and the 8 of the proposed properties would be one-bedroom flats, which would help us meet the need for housing single people and couples, whilst the remaining 12 properties would be two-bedroom flats to provide accommodation to the appropriate size of families. Whilst the focus currently in our Phase 2 programme is predominantly in Pennycook, within the council housing waiting list, out of just over 4,000 applicants, 2,900 are included within Dalkeith as their preferred area of choice. In order to finance the purchase of these properties, it's proposed that this would be funded through the housing revenue account capital plan. The total development is proposed to cost £2,100,000. The Scottish Government has committed this available grant funding at £400,000. Consequently, the total level of investment for the Council for these proposed purchases would be £1,700,000. The financial modelling suggests that the HRA can support this additional investment without having to impose any further increases in weekly rents to existing tenants. In addition, the purchase of this development is considered to be affordable within the HRA capital plan and would be funded separately as an additional project from the Phase 2 social housing programme, to which we have already allocated £60 million for development. As indicated, these properties would not meet our Phase 2 design guide, but would comply with the housing quality standard and building standards for varying needs. If the properties were not purchased from the open market, there is a risk that this available funding, as indicated earlier, would be allocated to another local authority area. Consequently, it's recommended that Cabinet notes the report and it suggests it agrees to the Council increasing the supply of new housing by funding the purchase of these 20 units for Council housing, subject to satisfactory contracts being overseen and concluded by the Council's legal section.
Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, I think, again, it shows the willingness to look at different options for maximising the provision of council housing in Midlothian. I think, apart from the fact that if we don't use it, we might lose the 400,000, I think just having the ability to look at different ways of working and different methods to develop new housing solutions for our residents has got to be welcomed, and I suppose it shows why our council housing strategy is the best in Scotland, as is recognised by the UK housing. So from that point of view, yeah, I'm happy to accept the recommendations in this report. I think it does provide welcome additional housing opportunities for our residents, and it has to be something that we can welcome.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, this is another good news story, and we're going to have to find more and more ways of financing council houses financially. Kevin, I just got the impression that these houses were not to the top standard. Am I picking that up wrong?
No, it's certainly the case that properties will meet the housing quality standard. The differential I was referring to was they don't meet the exact design and build standard of our own Phase 2 programme, which has come before Council previously. There's nothing detrimental in the proposed build at all. It's just that it doesn't quite comply with our design level standards, but it does comply with the housing quality standard. So it's not a lesser product, if I could sum it up that way. No.
Essentially, I think it's just essentially a different design to get a good outcome. Okay, members happy to accept the recommendations? Thank you. That then takes us on to item 10, the Council House Build Programme Phase 1 and 2 Progress Report.
Thanks, Chair. As is the title, this is to provide Cabinet with an update on the progress made both in Phase 1 and Phase 2 of the Council House Building Programmes. Phase 1 is essentially complete. 864 houses were completed within that budget of £108,700,000. Four of those sites still remain within the defects liability period, however. The situation at New Byers Crescent, whilst that forms part of the Housing Phase 1 programme, will be considered under a separate paper coming to Council in the near future. Phase 2, we have been going through the various stages of this, and within the budget of £63.7 million, we aim to maximise the number of houses that we can achieve through that programme. Two sites have been completed and are within the defects liability period. They fell into the category where we could use the tail end of Phase 1 tendering process, but that's now out of time and we have to now go through the procurement of a new framework. The mix for the Phase 2 sites are outlined in Table 1. It's a well-worn path here. We've shown this table several times. It's been done in consultation with colleagues within housing, and whilst it shows 391 units on that table, that's not the limitation of the numbers that we aim to get out of this project. That's just showing what those sites would achieve with that mix of properties. The framework tender has concluded with it's gone through the stages of the pre-qualification questionnaires. We shortlisted to seven contractors, and we ended up at the end of the whole tender process with two selected contractors being CCG Scotland Limited and Heart Builders Edinburgh Limited. Within the framework, we tried to accommodate small and local contractors, and we broke that down into three different sizes of lots, small, medium and large, in terms of the value, to try and accommodate a cross range of contractors who could bid and were appropriate for the jobs. The two that we've ended up with, we're perfectly happy with. It's the same number of contractors that we had for the Phase 1 project, and it should work well. We're now at the stage of tender evaluation, so we've got our framework contractors. We now then have to evaluate each of the sites within that framework, both on quality and on price, and that exercise is ongoing. I can report that the tenders for two of the sites, Site 9 Craigiebield and Site 18 Eastfield Drive, are as good as complete, and those tender reports will be lodged within the members' library very shortly. The third one, Site 42, is just taking a wee bit longer. It's just in the process, and that's more competitive between the contractors that are in the framework. We had the advantage of creating generic property types that Kevin's alluded to within Phase 2, and we've got the properties that we're looking for in terms of design and content, and we're using those property types now to establish the designs for each of the subsequent sites after the first three in Pennycook. First three have planning consent, and we aim to get those on site in June. There are some advance works that are required, and that is the removal of Japanese knotweed, which is a particular problem for environmental reasons. So the contractor will be doing that in advance of actually constructing the buildings, but that should take place in June. The development programme is set out in Appendix A, indicating where we've got the returns from the two framework contractors, and it meets with our timescales overall. The subsequent sites, two of the first three in Pennycook, being at Stubhill Road, Edgefield Road and Poulton Street in Bonnyrigg, are now going through the process of building that design up with the framework contractors, getting those tendered, and again they will follow hard on the heels of the first three sites. The rest of the report touches on other styles of properties that we're looking at, including houses for heroes and a complex care specification for social work. So there are more than just the standard council houses that are being built through this programme. In conclusion, the Cabinet's requested to note the progress that we've made in Phase 1 and 2, to appreciate the fact that we've established the framework appointments and we're now arranging contract awards from those frameworks, to note that the tender return had to be extended due to the contractor involvement and the complexity of the tender process. Note the progress on the specific sites. To note the relationship of the complex care and houses for heroes within the Phase 2 council housing, and to receive further updates at future meetings.
Okay. Thanks, Gary. I think certainly, we have to recognise the long track record Midlothian has in building council houses, and the fact that we were the first council under the previous administration to start building council houses again. I think we're not going to try and pretend that didn't happen. And so bringing forward this second phase and moving forward with the second phase in such a manner is also equally welcome. Obviously, we do need to take account of a variety of circumstances, the demands from the applications list, the changes to the environment in which people are living, the introduction of the bedroom tax, obviously, a key factor within that. But I think within the overall strategy, there's a very clear direction, a clear aim and a clear addressing of the various issues. So certainly the report is very encouraging from that point of view, and helps to set forward the next steps for us to continue the development of council housing for Midlothian to meet the needs and the aspirations of the residents in Midlothian. Derek?
Yeah, thanks. Good to see that this is going to provide much needed houses. Certainly I know from a Pennycook perspective it's great to see the Jackson Street and Craigie Beale soon to be commenced. Just a question on the site 47 on Kirkhill Road, Gary. It's of the eight houses that's mentioned for houses for heroes, are they included in the 35 total, or is that separate from that?
Kirkhill Road is one of two sites that have been considered for houses for heroes, and the design is very specific. That not just the internal layout of the houses, but also the environment that they're set within. The eight houses are specifically designed, hence they would have an impact on the 35 that are set out in Table 1. Table 1 is for social housing in its entirety across the site. If we took the eight houses for heroes and put them onto the site, it would have a material effect on that layout of that site. And I'm just trying to highlight within this report that we've got a complex care scenario and we've got houses for heroes to consider within the bigger picture of the Phase 2 project. So the 35 doesn't relate to the houses for heroes, it relates entirely to social housing.
Thanks. Noting that your discussions are going on with houses for heroes, is that going to delay anything, do you see, much?
The two sites that have been considered are further down the list. As you can see on Table 1, we sort of run through that in sequence, and the development of that site will be dovetailed into our development programme, and we're working with colleagues on either side of me to that effect. So it shouldn't have an overall impact at this stage. And if so, we do have other substitute sites further down the reserve list that can be promoted onto that list.
Okay, members happy to accept the recommendations in the report? Thank you. That takes us then to item 11, Business Gateway, delivery of Startup Finance Scotland loan funding programme in Midlothian.
Thanks, Chair. This report seeks approval from Cabinet to take on the delivery of the Startup Scotland loan funding programme. And this will be delivered through our in-house Business Gateway service. The funding for this is from UK government and is for loans to startup businesses and those who have been trading for less than 12 months. It's an extension of the scheme which is currently operating in England, Wales and Northern Ireland. And the aim would be that this scheme would be up and running pretty much almost immediately, certainly into June. The assessments and recommendations on applications that are made would be made locally by our own Business Gateway team here in Midlothian. Final decisions would be by the West of Scotland Loan Fund Management Services Limited, and that's an organisation that's been appointed. They have quite a good track record in this sort of side of things. They've been appointed to oversee the scheme and to on behalf of the funding arrangements. In terms of impact on the council, then obviously the loans are provided through government funding. There is a fee income to the council for successful applications to cover the council's costs. And that fee income comes from the scheme itself, not from the applicants, I hasten to say. We will need to monitor costs and need to monitor just what the impact is in terms of staffing. I mean, the Business Gateway team are already very busy, and I have to say, and very good. So we need to just check that and keep an eye on how that's affecting themselves. Recommendations, Chair, are as set out in the report, which are that the Council goes ahead with this, approves the delivery of the Startup Finance Scotland Loan Funding Programme Midlothian through the Business Gateway, but obviously agrees that regular reports are prepared on the operation of that fund here in Midlothian, and that we just agree with the appropriate publicity arrangements to ensure that at least the message gets out there that the scheme is up and running. John Beveridge is here with me, so if there are any questions from members, either he or I can assist.
This is to be welcomed. I'm glad that they're being included now with Wales and Northern Ireland. That's excellent. And I'm glad to hear what you're saying about the staffing might have to increase, because I know that Business Gateway are doing some great work. So hopefully you'll keep an eye on that, Ian.
Thanks, Leader. I found this a very encouraging paper. Recent employment data, I'm talking nationally here, UK, has shown that the amount of small business startups has increased quite dramatically recently. A lot of people are just getting up. They're used to that horrible expression about getting on their bike, which I won't use, and starting small businesses. Now, we in Midlothian have got a huge drive, and we see it in our new structure, particularly in the education section, on positive destinations. This is an area where Midlothian wants to improve its record. I see small businesses as a major component in this. There's no doubt that 1, 2, 3 man-woman businesses produce employment for young people. And what I would also hope is, quite often when young people approach financial institutions, their age is counting against them. I would hope within such a scheme that if a young person comes with a proper business plan with a good idea, that we can encourage them through providing some loans. And I think this really is an excellent paper. Thank you, Leader.
John, Ian, do you want any comment on opportunities for young people?
Just to say that this fund is targeted initially 18 to 30-year-olds. But one thing we'll really have to watch on this is that they're unsecured loans. So there's going to be quite a bit of aftercare monitoring and advice going to have to go into this for the Business Gateway advisors. So we'll have to watch that one closely. It's not like ESIF loans where there's guarantees. These could be quite hefty unsecured loans. So staff will have to work really, really closely with the applicants just to keep them on the right track.
Could I just respond? I'm very pleased to see that there's more to this than I perhaps thought there was. I think this is excellent, this follow-up. I do, however, recognise in any small business startups there will be failures. That is the nature of the business. I'm afraid we in Britain are a bit risk-averse. We're not like the Americans, who are very good at these sort of things. So, yes, there will be failures, but that's just part of it. And hopefully the failures will get advice, pick themselves up and start again, because these are often the people that make very good entrepreneurs. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Could you just ask what size of loans then? Being unsecured is quite a big departure, isn't it?
Yeah, it's up to £25,000. But there will be absolutely rigorous due diligence checks done. The organisation that's going to be involved in this are like the management agency for the East of Scotland Investment Fund that we deal with. So knowing the team there, the due diligence checks will be really, really rigorous. And then you've also got the start-up loan company behind that as well. Then you've got our advisors. So it's like three levels of checks. But like a colleague says there, there's no guarantee. There's going to be some fallout rate for this. But it's hard to say what that's going to be at the moment. But it's up to £25,000, the loans.
I think we recognise that there will be some that just simply don't succeed. I mean, in a sense, it's helpful that the funding isn't going to anything that doesn't sort of succeed. It's not an impact to the council finances if they don't succeed. And I think it is that real opportunity, just an extra tool to help somebody who might have a great idea, just to get that idea off the ground and to get started. And you never know, we might find that we've got the next Alan Sugar or whoever sitting somewhere in Midlothian and are just waiting for the opportunity to come forward with their idea. And having this as another tool that we can use to help support somebody to get themselves started, it may well pay off massive dividends. And who knows, a massive international company that starts as one person from Loanhead because they happen to get access to this fund might just mean that they set up their international headquarters in Midlothian down the line. So there's a potential great story here and real opportunities for somebody to just take forward their ideas and to grasp the opportunity. So really encouraged to see this. Colleagues happy to accept the recommendations? Thank you. That concludes the public items for the agenda. There is one item to be considered in private.